population. Having been one, I can in some ways relate to that also. I've been both. I've been a fairly wealthy merchant, hardworking woman, and I've been homeless in Santa Cruz. I think that it's possible that it might really open things up for the merchants to be a little more open themselves to the ideas of poverty and not be setting up their own prison walls, because they're closing themselves in. And in my reality, what goes around comes around, and it's going to hit them at some point in time. So they should, if they would cooperate with the city, stop putting pressure on the city, but cooperate instead to finding solutions, not simply building the walls, I think there'd be enormous change for them and for the homeless. And I'd like to see that cooperation happen instead of this terrible lack of compassion. So I guess that's what I have to say.
Yeah, same here. Thank you very much for your work, Robin.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you both.
We'll be listening.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We were listening there to longtime homeless advocates and community members Elizabeth Gipps and Patty Long, who have been working on this issue from before I even came to the area.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I had called before. I just wanted to bring a couple of things up. Maybe in a sense in defense, Robert. I'm not much of a boaster, but I suggested and pushed for a sleeping ban initiative in the summer of 97.
Yes, you did.
Okay, it was my push. I mean, I'll give myself credit for the suggestion and the push. I believe in that process. I believe in the right to petition. And the initiative process is a wonderful thing. I push, am presently pushing for a rent control initiative. I think that is the way to go. All right, it certainly raises the issue in very, very credible terms, impeccable terms. Now, one other thing, real quickly here, I have been homeless, and I think I live more frugally than most in my present situation.
You live like a church mouse, Bob.
Okay, my lump and credentials are in order, okay? We live in a very changing social dynamic, and the more that we can bring these issues above board in pleasant and polite and diplomatic terms, the more change is possible.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, you bet. Bye.
So this is the ongoing debate. It's too bad we're having a debate instead of some real change around the sleeping ban, but at least we're getting some conversation on the subject.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert, it's Sherry Connival.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Good.
I actually can't tune you in, but...
Well, you are on the air, so be aware.
Be aware.
So, Sherry, you I know, have been working on the issue for at least a decade, and, well, you had one very successful or nearly successful effort that happened in 1990, the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep.
Right.
And then you had another you know, effort that was successful for several months, and... funding homeless people who were going to different campgrounds and using the state parks until that was
right.
crushed by a bunch of, essentially a wave of bigotry and
right.
fear.
That's right.
And now you also, I guess you had a meeting on Wednesday and you were seeking some alternatives, since a lot of us feel incredibly frustrated at the lack of action by the city council. And for me, it's even the lack of willingness to discuss real options. But now I've put my word in, but what do you got to say?
I had a meeting looking at the possibility of doing an intentional civil disobedience action and setting up a people's campground after the armory closes to see if people, felt some energy around that, and that's still not clear to me. I think something definitely needs to happen. I have some, questions about the task force that they're hoping to set up and how effective that will be, because I've participated in the past in a couple of task forces that essentially were unable to come up with any real solutions. And I think it's really a question of willingness. I think if the will is there in the community to move forward, then there are a lot of solutions that can be identified and moved forward. And the thing that's hopeful to me right now in this particular round of negotiations is that I see a lot more people and newer people stepping forward than in the past who are legitimately concerned, who really want to see things change, who aren't, you know, okay with the status quo continuing. So I feel like there really is an opening right now for things to change, and it's a matter of how to work with that opening effectively and to, you know, step forward.
I know that students formed their own organization, Students Against the Sleeping Ban, and that there's, we certainly had a huge turnout of students, a significant turnout, huge is a little strong, but at the last city council meeting, and then at the town clock, several students did a very big, I thought it was, well, there were 70 to 80 students, I think, at least at its height, and we marched along the street, and people who I'd never heard of before, we had dozens of people sign up and volunteer to help to do future activist type protests or campouts, what you will.
Yeah, there definitely seems to be a real upsurge of interest from the students that we haven't seen in the past. I wasn't able to be at the town clock, but I heard that was, you know, a really good action. To me, this just feels kind of like the civil rights issue of the 90s or of the coming millennium, I guess, and that the soul of the nation kind of turns on our ability to respond to, you know, homeless and poor people. And now I'm hopeful and yet cautious, knowing that these kinds of changes take time. And essentially what it takes is bridge building. I think the most critical part is for people to get to know each other and to see that homeless people are, you know, have the same kinds of dreams and aspirations and hopes and fears as the rest of us. And so I'm, you know, hoping that those kinds of bridges can be built.
I know you've also been interested in, actually an item that's been rather overlooked by some of us, so concerned as we are and focused as we are on the sleeping ban repeal, the question of the downtown ordinances.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
want
to talk about that at all?
I on a regular basis see discriminatory enforcement of those ordinances, selective enforcement.
Maybe you should let them folks know what those ordinances are.
These were ordinances that were passed back in the, I guess, the early, mid-90s.
1994.
Focused on, really, I think if anybody reads the ordinances, it's easy to see that they're focused on the behavior of poor and homeless people in the downtown business core and trying to really kind of segregate folks out of the downtown business area. And it's more than the downtown ordinances. There are other, I think, laws that are used that way, particularly against teenagers. I saw some teens being threatened with ticketing down along the river the other day, and when I talked to them, it was actually a city park ranger. I guess she had thought they might be drinking and went down with her citation book, and, you know, they just said, we weren't drinking, and it's a drag because we get hassled all the time, and we really aren't doing anything wrong. We're just hanging out, you know, trying to be friends. And so I'm really concerned with that. I think that what's going on with homeless people and, you know, with teens and other groups is it's larger than simply the sleeping issue. There's a real atmosphere of segregation, of casting people out, of you know, separating people aside. And, you know, that segregation is very pernicious and it's very detrimental and it really rips people's lives apart. And it goes on a daily basis. And the downtown ordinances have sort of been the edifice of the enforcement of that, particularly against the homeless population, though I think other laws are used against other targeted groups.
Well, I know that you and Margaret Marr back in the early 90s were instrumental in, along with a lot of other folks like John Malkin and Jane Looney and, well, dozens of other people who put together a coalition, a second coalition, to establish this Citizens Police Review Board, which of course turned into a sort of a toy poodle board, but you know, you had a stronger board in mind when you set out on that journey, and a lot of that impetus came from what you were out there on the streets tabling and getting people to sign petitions.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah. Well, back in 1990, both Margaret and myself, at the invitation of Don Lane, who was then on the Santa Cruz City Council, went to meet with homeless folks down at what's now the Resource Center and used to be where the free meal site was. And we kind of asked them, you know, what are your priorities? What do you need that would make life better? And they identified two things, one of which was a legal place to sleep, and the second of which was a police review board. So we organized first the effort to try to get a campground, which failed, and then secondarily tried to do the police review board. My feeling at the time, based on some experts who came to town and talked about the whole issue of police review, their advice to us was, at a certain point in the process, it's better to stand outside the room. And what they meant was, if you have to compromise too far, it may be better not to participate in the process. And I just came to that point kind of early on. I could see that the review board was going to be really weakened and not have much efficacy, and so I just decided to put my efforts elsewhere. And my understanding is, in fact, it has not had much efficacy, although I understand there's an attempt right now to strengthen it.
Well,
but I haven't really been much part of that effort because, from close to the beginning, it just seemed like it was going to be whittled away in terms of any real power.
But the initial impetus did come from many...
It came out of the homeless community. It was their identified solution to their lives. That one of the things that they most needed. And then, of course, once we identified that in that community, other communities of color and, that are also oppressed, identified that as a need they had.
I've heard of other proposals, such as a people's tribunal. I know that that's being discussed in San Jose, where I guess activist Gary Wood and others, actually kind of a renegade group from the grand jury, who feel the grand jury is in the midst of a discriminatory process, are doing their own meetings and holding large public meetings. We're all wondering what the next step is, and I know that you were considering on March 15th when the Armory was going to close, then they extended it till the 31st, and who knows, maybe extended on a weather-related basis further. I don't know what their situation is. As I said, Marty Wormhout, I've mentioned, has told several of us last week that she may try to keep it open beyond that as her sort of way of saying, well, even though it's illegal to sleep in the city, and apparently she's looking for a similar kind of interpretation in the county, that it's illegal to sleep in much of the county. That is the interpretation of her staff. I won't say she's looking for it, but we had thought that the county was kind of, in a way, significantly different from the city, and that you could sleep in your vehicle.
Right.
Now they're trying to limit that interpretation to only motorists can sleep in their vehicles, which means you have to be driving through, and then you can pull over to rest.
Right, yeah. Prove that you're on your way through town.
Yeah, prove that you are a well-heeled and well-traveled or something. But I know that you're sort of seeking it out, and I know that there's a lot of other activist activities going on at this time. And
right.
You had talked about, I know for a long time you've had thoughts about a campground in the Benchlands.
Yeah, I understand that the Armory is going to be extended until March 30th, and I have ever since 1990 when we mounted the effort to establish a legal campground, and at that time that received overwhelming community support.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It failed. You know, ever since then, I've thought about doing a people's campground at the Benchlands. I think it's the perfect place for a campground. It's right behind the county building. It's along the river. It's a large grassy area.
But it is a little soggy at this time of year.
It's a little soggy. Mm-hmm. And I think, having talked to, there are actually a number of people really excited by the idea. How long that action could be maintained, I don't know. And my assumption in the beginning is it would be an action that would have to be carried out primarily by people with homes or folks who can risk being ticketed and going through the legal process. A lot of folks who are homeless are already have warrants out or can't really afford to be ticketed again in terms of what that does to their lives. So I'm not quite sure where that would go. In 1990, when we did the effort to secure a legal campground, I think probably every service organization, every religious group in town, the Santa Cruz Sentinel endorsed the project. The city clerk said they received more mail on that particular subject than anything that had ever come before the council, and it was overwhelmingly positive. Hundreds of people showed up for the hearing. It was, again, 98% of them were there to speak on behalf of the proposal. And And politically, it just didn't go. The people in power at the time were not willing to support it. But in terms of the community interest, it raised a lot of consciousness. It brought a lot of feeling forward. It did result ultimately in the formation of the Homeless Community Resource Center. It came out of that project. And my sense is that will is still there. In fact, even more strongly, I know all of us who participated in this last round of task force hearings heard that the most concerned groups, in terms of folks who were fearful about making things better for homeless people, also expressed that they did want something to be done. They weren't against homeless people. They felt that relief was needed. They just wanted to have some control and accountability about how that would happen. So I think most folks want to see people get a decent deal if they feel like it's not going to impact their lives too negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Are you still... I know that you're not sure which way to go at this point, but do you want people to give you a call if they want to help on this effort, or where are you on that?
I think if people are really interested in a CD action, an intentional, civil disobedience action in order to raise awareness, to set up a campground and see where that would go, I would love to hear from them. In 1990, after our proposal was rejected by the city council, we did a 10-day sleep out at City Hall that was not a daytime action. It was a nighttime action where we slept there every night. And what happened was they chose not to ticket that action. And because it was not ticketed, the homeless community found out it was not being ticketed, and a lot of folks just started to sleep there with us because essentially it was a free zone. And then it turned out that they didn't ticket anywhere in the city because they couldn't selectively enforce the law during that period. So.
And of course, on the 11th day, when your group had left, they came and ticketed the rest of us.
They ticketed
us to jail.
Stayed. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I remember that. But I think it was you had in fact set up a group that had sufficient credibility and with the police and even with the city council members headed by Marty Wormhout and John Laird, who voted down your campground or the campground, that they didn't want to send in the police to disperse it.
No, they didn't, and my sense was the police were a little upset. I think they would have liked to actually, ticket the action. There were a lot of folks from the Quaker community involved, from Quaker Meeting and other religious groups, and just folks who've done political work for a long time. So, and I don't know in this situation if we tried to do a civil disobedience action what the response would be. My guess is that they would in fact come in and enforce the law, that they would have to. So it would need to be people who felt like they were willing to risk ticketing and arrest and maybe going through a court process in order to keep this issue on the front burner and not to let it go away. And as I say, I think sleeping is a really kind of ultimate need that people have. But I think the issue is much larger than just sleeping. I think it has to do with embracing a group of people and not continuing to cast them out as if they don't belong in the community.
You know, one would think this would be a perfect kind of mechanism for, well, the religious community. One would hope that they would pick up the threads here.
Yeah, and actually, Mike Marini, who's the pastor at Holy Cross Church, the Catholic church up on Mission Hill, I've talked to, and he's been very supportive of this kind of effort. He feels like he agrees that it needs to be kept in the public eye and that different kinds of approaches may be necessary in order to change things. And I think he agrees with a number of us that the religious community could come forward and do more than it's doing to answer the need.
Should we put out your number on the air here for folks to call you? Or
yeah, you can do that.
Okay, why don't you give us your number?
It's 459-7259.
459-7259.
People should know I often let my answering machine pick up calls and then I call back when I have the time to. So.
And we've been talking to Sherry Connable, who's an activist around this issue for a decade and wants to do more and wants to know if, I guess, you want to do more too.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The name of the woman who began the Southern Bus Boycott, as you know, is Ms. Rosa Parks. from New Alabama, not a long time ago. A covering lady sat down on a bus. She was tired, she did day work, she took pills of fever, and since that day she'd change the world for us. Because she said, no sir, I won't get up. I'm tired and I want to sit down and I won't get up. You can talk about Martin Luther King had demonstrations and a thing. Just remember who began it, Rosie Parks. Well, in this wild and wicked world, tell me what kind of man would say to a nice old lady, nigga, get up. Well, she was just like me and you, and she did what she could do, and she said, no, sir, I won't get up. And she said, no, sir, I won't get up, I won't get up. I'm tired and I want to sit down and I won't get up, I won't get up. You can talk about Martin Luther King, have demonstrations and a thing. Just remember who began it, Rosie Parks. Well, now one day the South will rise and the North will realize who our heroes really, truly are. And then we'll tear down the statues of Robert E. Lee and the wonderful good old Rosie Parks. Because she said, no, sir, I won't get up, I won't get up. I'm tired and I want to sit down, I won't get up, I won't get up. You can talk about Martin Luther King, have demonstrations and a thing. Just remember who began it, Rosie Parks, try with me. Because she said, no, sir, I won't get up, I won't get up. I'm tired and I want to sit down, I won't get up, I won't get up. You can talk about Martin Luther King, have demonstrations and a thing. Just remember who began it, Rosie Parks.
Again, was Kristen Lem's fine album. Actually, I think it was In the Outdoor, another one of her albums. You don't hear much
from her. Sorry about that low mic, folks. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor. The call-in number is 427-3772 if you want to join our show. If you want to reach us off-air, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you want us to clarify any of the phone numbers that you may have missed, folks who want you to get in touch with them, like activist Sherry Connable and others. We're going to continue now with some selected cuts from the last of the last, the task force meeting for the camping ordinance, task force meeting, if you will, at which essentially the task force just came back to check things out with the Chamber of Commerce and the Harvey West Association before going back to City Council to do the final deal on the cosmetic changes to the camping ordinance that essentially have no substantive import other than lowering fines from $162 to $54 and allowing people to sleep in a vehicle in a driveway 3 days a month or two to a business lot with the permission of the owner.
Are things that are coming now that we haven't talked about?
Yes. First of all, I guess I've spoken to you about this cabin by phone. You were following folks who were both either concerned about ending the sleeping provisions of the cabin ratings or opposed to that. And I, at that point, there's nothing that you've been doing for the last few weeks. And I wonder if you can resume it, at least until such time as the evidence either passes or fails.
And what I was requesting was that those who phone 420-5020, which is the phone number for the City Council, the 24-hour line, which you can actually call now, 420-5020, then push 1 and say end the sleeping ban, that those calls would be tallied. And the City Council has stopped tallying them. The city staff has been directed or told it's okay to stop tallying them, and I requested that the committee resume tallying since the issue is not resolved. And it seems very strange that they've stopped the process of noting what the community really thinks on the issue.
I will.
I think it's very important because there's a whole
apartment. Starting tomorrow.
Well, you know,
I write them down too.
That'd be good. And that's something
they're
calling, just putting them
on and
putting them into some
concert. Yeah.
Outline.
I record every single phone call that's about.
The deadline for the Metro, you can make it on Monday. But if you're going to have it in the Good Times in the Metro, and if you're going to have it in a decent part of the Sentinel, I would ask that you get that earlier this time.
What is?
The announcement of the public hearing.
One of the concerns I had about this tallying is a lot of folks who speak Spanish, who previously have not had access to this, and there's a Spanish flyer that they're going to have to talk to people about this, who are up here, have to deal with this. It's particularly dangerous for people who are, for example, illegal immigrants, who live in the fields, who have to face deportation, who are looking for tickets just for sleeping outside. I understand that it's useless talking to you three on this issue, but I think that in terms of tallying it, it's important that the community know what the reality of the situation is in terms of the opinions that people have.
Anyway, but it's not useless, Robert. I would just tell you earlier that we just have to make the judgments and we get the phone calls and we take it for granted. I really appreciate your talent.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, it's useless for you to ask me for those substantive changes.
Oh, okay.
You don't even have to ask. You don't even talk about substantive changes. It's a problem you have. The problem with these changes is, again, we are going back to even more conservative language, and we aren't dealing with the shelter emergency situation. I guess I'm asking the council members who, one, because the phone is set up, but asked the sleeping provision be suspended in certain industrial zones, and Ruki suggested that if the only shelter was full or closed, and I would amend that to say, If there is no shelter space, if the buildings are or the shelters are falling, so there is no, all announced that there is a shelter space, then those are not permitted to issue citations, at least in some areas of the city. I'm not talking about the section of the screen. I'm talking about, again, just some safe zones for people to go to. And for you guys just to present that as an alternative, I think would be a positive thing.
It's been presented,
again, as an alternative to continue to raise it. And so, you know, there is sufficient majority, but I think it really is the right and the reasonable decision, and I appreciate you bringing it up last time. I really feel that the whole process of these task force discussions are from a real clear class bias. There's great attention given to merchants and neighborhood residents, and very little attention to homeless people. For instance, you're coming back to the Chamber of Commerce.
if you had a suggestion about coming back to the Harvey West Association on Monday, which may or may not happen. But you're not going back to the homeless people that believe you're going to make substantive changes to really affect their lives and allow them not to be criminal for the act of sleeping. You're not going back to the advocates of the social service providers to ask about the impact of summer as the welcome that gets tattered on keeping this vicious law in place. You're not going to any of these people. So I think that you are surrendering to a kind of form of particular special interest with the elitist here. And I really feel that it's a mistake. And I'm not saying that the individuals all at this table are elitists. I'm saying that the orientation that's being used is an elitist one.
Sure.
There are endless apprehensions that the folks with bigger perspectives, that's bigoted. You know, that, like the homeless people are going to be kidnapping kids walking to school. This is bullshit. And I want to hear you people saying this is bullshit. I mean, you have to do it to educate the community. When somebody calls a black person a nigger, you don't tolerate it. You stand up and say, we don't do that here. Homeless people are not considered to be criminals. And unfortunately, none of you have done that in any of these hearings. And I think you really need to do it. And that would have been an educational process. And actually bringing up the question, a place, we have to have a place for people to see, let's talk about where. We have the majority, let's go for it. And that is what has needed to be done by the three of you. And I'm afraid that it just hasn't been. And I want you to begin to do it. That's what, and we need some of
you to do it.
I've been to one of the earlier meetings, and there were homeless advocates as well as chamber members and business people and neighborhood people. And our number one concern was had to do with how to provide safe housing, safe facilities, clean facilities for the housing. And so to have this gentleman say that you haven't been listening, you haven't been caring, I don't think is at all correct.
There's not the president who needs to say
that. Robert, please don't respond. By the way, I just want to say March 20th, the community house open house, in which people have been there,
I'm so reminded how there were 40 people that were on the streets a year ago and not on the streets this year. And above the line, which were open, I think around April 1st, were 20 teenagers who are on the streets, will be off the streets. So it's a great statistic. I mean, it is wonderful. Yes.
Well, Acosta, again, make yourself into the point. I have a self-contained motorhome. It's happened to be a Dolphin Mimic motorhome. I also have a pickup truck. It's a Ford Courier. Long story short, I was out of town for 4 days. I came back. My RV was parked at Melrose, and it was impounded, so I had $350. Long story short, then I got to go to court on the 19th because I got cited for $162. I got to go before our illustrious Art Banner on that citation. It's sobering because most of my adult life was military. By that I mean, I'm nothing special about that. There's others that were, I'm a veteran. I belong to about 8 veterans organizations, lifetime member. But it was sobering to me to realize that I served this my country, yet I'm a criminal for sleeping. It's a slap in the face. You know, I'm not gonna advocate rape, pillage, and plunder. If you're going to be a criminal, you better start raping, pillaging, and plundering. Be a criminal. I mean, that connotates a criminal. But for sleeping, I have been criminalized for being sleeping. I don't defecate anybody's property, yard. I have a self-contained motorhome, and I have holding tanks. I don't urinate on anybody's property, and I have a self-contained motorhome. Long story short, I did get up, maybe a little addendum here, I did get up with two veterans organizations that are working at Ford Ord. They have acquired in all 40 facilities or 40, I don't know if they're apartments, on post. It's called the Ford Ord Reuse Authority. I talked to the colonel that's in charge of the Ford Ord Reuse Authority. Anyway, that's in Monterey County. Anyway, I give them a real pat in the back because they're doing something positive on Ford Ord, and maybe it'll help veterans putting general. Maybe it's going to help a lot of veterans that are desperate for low-income housing. Maybe they can afford some housing, because I've tried for a year to rent housing here. I can't afford it. I've tried for a year. And back to square zero, I'm still living in a self-contained motorhome.
Oh, yeah, my name is Sam Akins. 3 weeks ago, I was employed in Aptos. I was working there in this apartment complex for senior citizens. I was camping in my van on the job site with permission from my boss, who's a corporate partner. The sheriff came in one night, knocked on the van, searched the van. We were arrested, me and my girlfriend. We're sleeping over there in Aptos. I have a medical marijuana prescription, and the police found a little bit overzealous, took me to jail. It took 5 days to get out of jail. I was a taxpayer. Now I'm unemployed just because I was sleeping. And, you know, I've been here 8 years, and I've been sleeping outdoors 8 years. I don't have any problem. I don't use anybody's yard for my business. I go and do what I have to do when I have to do it. But it's proper. I don't believe that there's anything worse than being criminalized for sleeping. This is America. What are we doing? I mean, you guys, I've been doing this homeless thing with Robert how many years now? 4 years? Nothing's been accomplished. Sure, you built Community House. That was a good thing. That's 40 people. You just mentioned 20 teenagers. There's a hell of a lot more people than 60 people on the streets. You know, I come back, I just spent a week at my parents' house because I'm tired of sleeping at the Armory. It's not the best thing, but, you know, it's better than nothing. But I'm going out and camping tonight, illegally. I don't have any other alternatives. You know?
I don't believe in that these are terribly big changes, and I'm, you know, very disappointed, and I'm quite getting to work with the new task force. But you have a lot of stuff. I'm taking this as, you know, you made some tweaking, the little bit of relief, and I'm also taking it that by taking the sleeping and cutting sections from life into a misdemeanor, you began to recognize this distinction, the sleeping ban, and I'm taking that the charge of the new task force will take into account sleeping for sleeping bans, and then we'll take on the charges that have not been handled. So I'm going to try to be positive on this, but no, I assure you how we should have done a lot more.
And that was the last meeting of the task force to examine the camping ordinance. Again, instead of dealing with the sleeping ban, they spent a lot of time talking to merchants, talking to neighborhood groups, vaguely raising fears about the camping ordinance, but never really examining the issue of safe places to sleep, which was the key issue. The only thing we heard about it was an ultimatum, or should we say a decision, reached by Catherine Byers in private that there were, unfortunately, no places for homeless people to sleep in Santa Cruz. Catherine Byers came to that decision on February 1st when she announced it at a meeting even before we began to talk about any legal changes. And to their discredit, council members Crone and Sugar refused to contradict her or take another point of view. Although they did, at the actual city council meetings, come up with some alternate proposals which seem to have been thrown together with baling wire and scotch tape. Hopefully they will come up with a proposal. We've been asking them to come up with a real proposal, and we've offered our assistance, that is David Silva, myself, Becky Johnson, other people on the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, if a real proposal is in the works, not one that we think the city council will pass, but one that at least is fair and realistic and important and sort of a light for the future, so that even if the council is too conservative to take any real action now, that somewhere down the road, at least we'll know where we're going. We won't have to spend another 6 months trying to figure out where we're going. That hasn't been done yet, and we are hopefully going to be, well, it's you and I, folks, and all of us out there who really want to do something, whether it's daytime protests downtown to get the Chamber of Commerce and the Downtown Association finally turning to the City Council to say, get these protesters out of the downtown, for God's sake, yeah, give them a safe zone somewhere, anything, so they stop saying boycott, boycott, boycott. That's one proposal. You heard Sherry Connable during the last 2 hours talking about a campground possibility, if folks want to actually set up a campground that homeless people can join. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hello?
You're wasting everybody's time.
You think so?
Well, that's my youngest caller, and it cuts me to the quick, but perhaps if she or he wants to call back, I think it's probably a he, and suggest what should be done, that would be great. If anybody has any suggestions off air, because this show is, of course, we're on twice a week, Thursdays at 6 from 6 to 8 in the evening, and Sundays from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon, but we are around at other times too, those of us in HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, concerned with civil rights for the poor on the streets generally. You can reach us at 423-HUF, and I hope you do. Well, this is the last 10 minutes of the show, and we actually were going to get into the county camping ordinance, but we don't really have time to do that. That is something that some of us will be bringing forward to the County Board of Supervisors, which meets every Tuesday at 9 in the morning. We brought that actually to their attention at least two Tuesdays running. Let's catch this call and we'll talk a little bit more about the county camping ordinance. Sounds like we have perhaps the youngest prank caller. Who knows? In any case, the county camping ordinance, as we've talked about before, is the law in the county as distinguished from the city that makes it legal for you to sleep in a vehicle but only for, quote, roadside resting purposes. And we'll try one more time on this call.
Hello.
Hi, Robert. It's Christopher.
Oh, hi, Christopher. This is Councilmember Crone. How are you doing?
Good. Are we on the air?
We are on the air. Are you, I guess you can't tune in where you're at?
No.
We've been talking a lot about the sleeping ordinance, and we've been actually kicking it to you big time, but did you call about that, or did you call about the CPRB?
I got a phone call from somebody who wants to talk about the Citizens Police Review Board.
Right, well, why don't we turn to that? The Citizens Police Review Board is, of course, an organization that's supposed to independently review police misconduct, but the problem has been that they almost, not unanimously and not all the time, but for example, the last 17 complaints I've noted were left unsustained or exonerated by the board. And we know that at the last council meeting, there were several amendments that came up. One was to set up a hearing officer, another was to have an automatic review of police shootings, not, it must be said, an investigation of police shootings. It would be more than simply looking over the shoulders of the cops. But anyway, I think these things pretty much passed, although I guess your hearing officer thing is going to go to some sort of a meet and confer process. But you had some important things to say at that council meeting, and much as I disagree with your actions around the sleeping ban situation, I was encouraged with your interest in making sure the police department really gets the kind of attention and independent attention that I think it should have. Anything you want to say about that?
I want to make a comment about the first thing you said, just to set the record straight for people listening. I think that you and I could find common ground in the fact that the community is actively debating and discussing the issue of the camping ordinance, the sleeping ordinance, whether we're going to address the needs of homeless people or not, and I think that has become a front burner issue for the council as well as it has been for many people in the community, and I hope the council now is reflecting that. We may disagree on the path or the direction that the debate is taking, but nonetheless I think that there's been a healthy and a sustained, consistent debate. On the CPRB, I think that the changes that were made were good changes, and I think that so many constituencies are involved in the Citizens Police Review Board, and I'm speaking of the police, the police chief, the police union, they have a union representative, the citizens of Santa Cruz, the city council, and how change is actually going to be made is sometimes difficult to come to those changes. And I think that the three changes that were made the other day, three, and then the fourth one we're hoping after the city manager meets with the union representatives and says that this is the direction we're going in, they can't say yes or no. They just said, oh, okay, you know, so it's part of their contract that we would meet and confer with them on any changes that take place with respect to the Citizens Police Review Board or their contract, because it is linked with their contract, they think.
Well, the reason I don't really think that the changes around the CPRB are worth a lot of discussion, though. I'm happy to talk to you about them at another time. I know that they spent 7.5 months. The old board, headed by Lisa Rose, who the same board that exonerated the police officer who shot dead Happy John Dine, without even the courtesy of an independent investigation or a public hearing, that has never had a public hearing in its life, nor has anyone yet, even the new board members, called for a public hearing. I know the new board members were seated a week ago Monday, and even so far they have not called for a public hearing, though I have hopes that some of them will. I guess maybe we should just take a step back and let me comment on your response to the sleeping ban point comments that I made earlier. Would that be okay?
Sure. If you want to talk about that, but if you want to, in fact, get, because I would ask your what do you think about CPRB and what changes should be made with regards to that? Or would you say throw the whole process out, get in, start over? Would you say we can work with what we have and these are the changes that need to be made?
I think a number of parallel courses should probably be followed, but that's a very good question, and it really, I would like to invite you here to come on the show and, you know, spend half an hour to 45 minutes really kind of hammering out some of this stuff, which I think is really important and requires a sort of a historical background as to what the problems have been, both around police misconduct in Santa Cruz generally, the failure of the internal affairs process to adequately monitor it, and the failure of the Citizens Police Review Board to adequately monitor that once it was established, plus the history of how that establishment actually happened. Briefly, in answer to your question.
And that, just I want to say, sure. And that probably might be one of the root issues is the history and how, and a lot of things, philosophically and functionally speaking, how history doesn't get passed on and people sort of reinvent the wheel.
Correct.
And I suspect that most people on the Citizens Review Board right now don't know about the history, and the history that is carried over is a history from a certain perspective, and we know what's involved in the 26 hours of training, which is a rather...